Have you ever had your kids to ask, you know, when you told them, I want you to go up there and make your bed? They say, why? I'm going to get in it again tonight. Or you tell them, go clean up their room. And they say, why? Or come in at a certain time. Why? The other kids don't have to. I heard that. Well, we're going to talk about why this morning. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to St. Luke chapter 6, starting with verse 46 and reading through verse 49. And it says, and why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that home or house, and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the streams did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Why? Sometimes I see us kind of like children. The Lord has to talk to us, and sometimes we question him, don't we? And we're going to talk about stewardship and faithfulness this morning, but sometimes we question God, why that he wants us to do certain things. Well, Jesus used a parable about tragedy in order to awaken us to the truth that the proof of his lordship of our lives is not our willingness to listen to his words. Now, keep in mind that we come to the house of God, we hear the singing, we hear the preaching of the word, we go to Bible studies and we become a student of the word. We have an interest in hearing, but that's not the foundation of an authentic Christian life. The foundation is simply being obedient to do what Christ tells us to do. Being obedient. Now, we expected our kids to mind. God expects us to mind. We are his children. And we have a responsibility to be obedient to do what he tells us to do. He starts out, he asks this question, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not what I say? Now we know the Lord is master. He is someone who deserves our unconditional obedience. But when we rebel against him or even neglect his commands, we invalidate our testimony to the world that he is our Lord. If we are disobedient in our Christian practice, then we're dishonest in our Christian profession. I'm reminded of a time in England when there was a shortage of silver coinage. And so Oliver Cromwell sent out his ministers into the community and across the countryside in order to find all the silver and bring it back in that they could. When they came in basically empty-handed and said, the only silver that we can find is in the statues of the saints. To which he said, we'll melt down the saints and put them into circulation. I like that. It's kind of like that 14-year-old boy who saw a sign in the shop window, boy wanted. So he presented himself as he went into the store to the shopkeeper for work or the job. And the shopkeeper took one look at him and saw that he was young and felt like he was not old enough to do the job he wanted him to do. So he asked him, "Son, what can you do?" He said, "Sir, I can do what I'm told." That so impressed the boss. He said, "You'll do, son. You'll do." Well, I'm convinced that what the Lord wants more than anything else is that we be obedient to do what he calls us to do. Christ is looking for people who will do what he tells them. If you can't obey me, he said, don't call me Lord. I'm reminded of Alexander the Great. They had just fought a battle and the report came to him that one of his soldiers fled in the face of the enemy. So he called him before him and he asked him the question, "Is it true that you fled and didn't fight the enemy?" And he stated that that was true, that he had fled, he had run, he was scared. To which he asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "My name is Alexander." He said, "You have two choices. You can either change your name or change your conduct." Well, I remember the story in the Old Testament when God ordered Joshua to lead Israel in a march around the city of Jericho. Now, these walls were high, they were thick, they were fortified, they were almost impregnable. And those on the inside felt awfully safe. Now, God gave a strategy and he told him exactly what to do. And I know that there were some folks there that thought that that's not a good strategy. And Joshua, being a military man, I know that he had a strategy in mind. But the secret of his success and victory at Jericho was the fact that he did what God told him to do. Now they walked around the city. They marched around it one time every day for 6 days. Can you not imagine how the folks on the inside of that city, how they looked upon those Israelites as they was up on those high walls, thick walls, and they watched them march around one time every day, and they did not say a single word. And I'm sure those on the wall began to holler out insults. They went around the second day, the third day, the fourth day, the fifth day, and the sixth day, and they marched around one time every day and did not say a word. I imagine they were hysterical on the inside. But God said, go around seven times on the seventh day and then shout in unison. And the walls will come tumbling down. Now they walked around that first time, the second time, the third time, the fourth time, the fifth time, the sixth time. And then they walked around that seventh time and they got around. And they didn't say a word until all of a sudden in unison they began to cry the victory cry. And those walls came tumbling down. Now, I'm here to tell you that we're just passing through this old world. And we're under orders. We have a commander in chief that tells us exactly what he wants us to do, but he does so for our well-being. We tell our kids to do this, that, and the other. Why? Because we want them to be safe and grow up to be what God wants them to be. Those walls came tumbling down and they won the battle of Jericho without the loss of a single man. I'm going to tell you, doing what God tells you to do will get you victory every time. Now, we're just passing through. We know that. And I'm telling you, all you've got to do is look in the mirror and know that you're not as young as you used to be. Some of you used to have hair. Some of us used to be able to see good, and we didn't need Joe to give us glasses. Some of us need hearing aids, but we have too much pride to wear them. But it just reminds us of the fact that we're getting older and we're just passing through. And the Bible tells us it's appointed unto a man once to die. And after that, we're going to stand before God in judgment. So I know we're going to die, and one day we're going to stand before him. So I need to prepare for that which I know I cannot avoid. I need to prepare because I know that that time will come when I will breathe my last here on earth. But many of us are like the woman who said, I didn't have potatoes, so I substituted rice. I didn't have paprika, so I used another spice. I didn't have tomato sauce, I used tomato paste. Not half a can, a whole can, because I don't believe in waste. A friend of mine gave me a recipe. She said, you couldn't beat it. Well, there must be something wrong with me because I couldn't even eat it. But no wonder her dish was inedible. She didn't use any of the ingredients that the recipe called for. Now, I'm here to tell you that being a Christian is not like going through First cafeteria line. And you look and you see that something over there looks really good and you get that, but you don't get this. Now, I don't get spinach. I don't get a lot of stuff, you know, or cauliflowers and stuff like that. But, you know, we can do that in the cafeteria line. But you can't do that with God. Whatever he tells us to do, we're to do it. Now, why? Because he wants us to make heaven our home. He wants every one of us to get there, and so we have the responsibility to obey him along the way. Well, there's a contrast between two people, one who listens to the word of Christ and follows through with obedience, the other that merely listens. Now, the person who acts on Christ's word, it says in verse 47, everyone who comes to me and hears my word and acts on them, I will show you to whom he is like. One, he is deep in his trust. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and he laid a foundation and he laid it upon a rock, and that rock is Christ. We sing the song, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. This man is not superficial. He is spiritual. His roots are deep. What is the evidence of it? His obedience. His obedience. You know, I know that when we stand before God, God won't have to check to see if we've been faithful. He knows. You know, if there's any one thing, his eyes are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. He knows what he knows, what he knows. He knows everything. He won't have to check and see if you're paying your tithes like you ought to. He won't have to check and see if you really gave a tenth or if you just tipped. God has all the records. He knows if you've been faithful, if you've been naughty, or you've been nice. He knows. A good example of what we're talking about is Abraham and the sacrifice of Isaac on Mount Moriah. Now, keep in mind that they had been praying for a son. God promised them a son. He gave them a promise that I will make of you a great nation and you will be a blessing to the entire world. They had to have an heir. The heir was Isaac. God told Abraham to go and sacrifice his son Isaac on Mount Moriah, the only son he had, the son of promise. Now I know that he must have had a lot of thoughts going through his mind. about what am I going to tell the wife when I come home and the boy is not with me and I have to tell her that I sacrificed him to God? What will my friends say when they find out that I sacrificed my son? They'll say I'm a lunatic. I've lost my mind. But you know, he believed God. Some way, somehow, he believed that God would work it out, that he left it up to God to put it all together for him. If God allowed him to take his son's life, he would resurrect him. He just trusted God. I don't know if we trust God like that today. I don't know that I could have ever sacrificed my child. But he was willing to trust God with the consequence of his obedience. God help us that we'll be willing to do the same. God will not lay on us more than what we can bear, but will with the trial and the difficulty make a way of escape for us. He is also durable through his trials. When the flood arose, the torrents burst against that house and could not shake it. Now, the flood symbolizes times of overwhelming grief, of loss, of tribulation. We all face that. It's not just the world that faces hard times, faces the loss of life or some kind of problem. We have these problems ourselves. Is there any family here that hasn't had a loss of a loved one? I think all of us have faced the fact of reality that life down here is not eternal, but life up there is eternal. And we're just passing through down here, but we're looking for that city whose builder and maker is God. We're looking for a place where that we won't ever die. We're looking for a place where we won't have any more pain or discomfort. We won't have any more problems or difficulty. We're looking for a place that, brethren, is just plain perfect. And that's the place that God has provided for those that love him. Everyone is building a life, both the obedient and the disobedient man. They're constructing a house. The difference is, only one man had a life that was built well enough to defy the onslaughts of the coming flood. A person who merely trusts Christ's words. Now, Jesus describes a man whose life is not well built. He listens to the commands of Christ, but he does not follow through with what God tells him to do. He claims Christ to be his Lord and Savior, but his disobedience says otherwise. Brethren, do we not think that God knows our lives? He knows you. And when you stand before him and give an account of your life, then you're going to stand before God that knows all about you. He is defenseless without Christ. The rivers beating against his house represents the various trials of life. Our Lord says that the second house collapsed immediately. It had no stability. If our faith is only on the surface, evidenced by a lack of obedience, we'll be easily blown away. Not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. And it says the ruin of the house was great, representing final judgment. Can you visualize with me this morning, standing before God in judgment? Standing before the one who is omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. Standing before the one who has all the facts in everybody's case. Down here, a man can defend himself in court. Can a man be heard in the courts of heaven. God may say to you, yes, you may talk, you have all eternity to say what you want to say. Well, God, the reason why that I have come to this awful place in my life is I had no confidence in the church because of all of those hypocrites. I didn't believe in their lies. God says, I didn't ask you why you didn't believe in the hypocrites. I asked you why you didn't believe in Jesus Christ. You try to think of another explanation. God, I was so confused. I didn't know which church, whether it was Baptist, Free Will Baptist, Assembly, I didn't know which church to go to. God says, I didn't ask you about what church you were joining. I asked you about Jesus, my son, if you received him or not. Stumbling for words, you offer another excuse. God, I didn't have an opportunity to be saved. Remember, I was taken from this life when I was still young. I didn't have time to be saved. God never says a word, but he rolls out the panoramic screen and begins to show the picture of your life. All the opportunities that you had from childhood to the time that you left, they stacked up one upon the other, accusing you of rejecting Jesus Christ. But God, please don't cast me into hell. Hell is so horrible. It's so unbearable. Would you hear one last excuse? God simply waits. Lord, I heard the gospel. I know how to be saved. I had some opportunities, but Lord, I just never had that feeling. God says, did you feel like you were lost? Yes, Lord, I knew I was lost. Did you feel like Christ died for you? Yes, Lord, I knew that he died in my stead. Did you feel like I would have saved you if you asked me? I knew that you would, Lord, if I had just asked you. God said you had all the feelings that anybody else ever had. You tremble, you're speechless before the great judge of the ages. Your case is hopeless. God takes a look at the record and he sees sin piling up on sin. And Jesus says, whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I deny before my Father which is in heaven. When Jesus denies you, then your eternal destiny is sealed. And the Lord said, write. The angel said, what shall it be? They flipped through the book of life, and you wait with heaviness of soul to hear your name called out. It's here in the book, but it never came. Then Satan points a finger of accusation at you and said, God, that soul has sinned. He served me on earth, and I demand him to be cast into hell. God, you cannot take him to heaven. You cast the angels out when they rebelled against you. He deserves to go to hell. God says to the recording angel, I said, write. Write his eternal doom. And what, your majesty, is it to be? The angel waits. And the Lord said, write. Lost. 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 And then those imps come out of that deep bottomless pit called hell. I'm telling you a story, but brethren, this is how it's going to be. It might differentiate a little, but this is how it's going to be. And they come with chains of fire, and they shackle the sinner hand and foot. And they take him to that deep abyss, that bottomless pit, and they cast him into hell. So it's important that we understand that we're just passing through. And God, through the foolishness of preaching and through church, that's why church is so important. That's why we all need to come to the house of God to worship. Brethren, we're striving to be pleasing to the Lord and have him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of the Lord." But it won't just happen unless we make it happen with God's help. Are you ready to meet him? The dividing line is not the hearing of the word of truth. The dividing line is obedience to live in accordance to the word of truth. Bow with me for prayer.